exactly what you said.
That's what her eyes were saying. Okay, yeah, that was really good. And I really like the way that God ties things together, because I know that that's what God's given you. But this is really going to tie in well. I'm glad I didn't rush through last week, because I'm going to just barely graze over what we hit last week, and I want to get to the end, because it's a lot like what you're talking about. We're all kind of at a point where we need to make a decision, wherever you're at. My decision is going to be different than yours, but we need to figure something out and we need to get going. So it's really good. But I like what you said about the community thing too. I think God's growing us as a class. You ever had a day where it just really sucked? I mean, just a day where it's just like, I don't think this is ever going to end, just because it's miserable. Yesterday was that day for me. I worked yesterday, which, that's my problem. You shouldn't work on Saturday. There's got to be unholy or something. And it was bad. I mean, it was just one of them days where I didn't think it was ever going to get over. And then I knew I was supposed to be here for church cleaning. For all you guys who are here, that was awesome. You guys are doing a really good job with the taking it and running with it. But I was late, and I was just like, holy smokes, it was just not my day. And I got here, and Paige brought me clothes, and all I wanted was a shower and whatnot. And it was just good, because I came in, and I was flustered, and I was in my flesh. You know, I'm sure you've all been there at some point. If not, watch me, you'll figure it out. And it was just good. I caught Mark, and he's in there running the vacuum, and you know, I caught Mitchell, and I caught Brady, and just hanging out with you guys for just a little while. It was just, it puts things in perspective, you know. And I know we're here cleaning the church. That's not really anybody's, yes, that's what I want to do on Saturday night, but it was just good. So I agree with you. God's building communities, building relationships, and I really like hanging out with you guys. So take that for what it is. Okay, so what? Last week, I'm going to finish up the faith and works thing, and I told you I was going to do that last week. We are going to get done today, so I'm going to blast through, kind of flipping pages, what I hit last week. If you weren't here, you'll have to go back and listen to it, because I want to get done, and I want to get to the end, and I want to move on with James. So, basically, you know, we looked at the work side, we looked at the faith side, we spent a lot of time on either one, a whole week on either one, and so basically I just called it, it's still the trial of faith versus works, but it's just a Christian's perspective. This is actually what I think James means. This is how I believe when it comes to this, and I will preface this, I'm not the authority on this. This is what I think the Word of God says. This is how it applies to my life. It doesn't make me the authority. This is how I think the Word of God defines itself. So let's pray and I'll get going. Father God, I love you. I thank you for just this class, Lord. I thank you for just the awesome people. God, they're just family. And I thank you for your Word. And I see you just working in the individual lives of the people in Past Point. Just knowing the ins and outs and some of their lives, and just seeing you work and convict. And you're an awesome God. So I pray you just bless this time in the Word, that it'd be clear, that it'd be convicting, Lord, and that we would not just hang out in the wilderness anymore, Lord, but we would say, wow, you've given me the promised land. Let's take the step and go get it. So just put me out of the way. Speak through me. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, so I'm asking the same three questions. I know some of you have probably at least caught one of them. So the questions weren't anything good. They were there more to provoke thought. You know, I could have probably asked better questions to get the right answer, but I wanted to make you guys think. So the first question was, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? Turn to James. Sorry, I really am going to try to hurry. And so he basically says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not the things which are needful of the body, what doth it profit? So we spend a lot of time looking at both sides of this, and here's what it boils down to. It's not so much the question, but it's what he asks in the question. He says, though a man say he have faith. I gave you my testimony. You guys have all seen it. A lot of people can say a lot of things. I asked the question, I probably shouldn't have walked into it, but I said, if I told you I could dunk a basketball, what would you say? And you all laughed at me. But you would say, prove it, right? Just because a person comes to me and says, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, you know, I'm following God. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, at least you're faking it really well, but show it to me. Live it out. Let me see it in your life. And if you're like me, you stumble sometimes. I'm not saying you're unholy, but live it out, right? So that's what he's asking. And it boiled down to this. If your faith is basically words and it's lip service and that's it, then it's fake, guys. I live that life. I went through years of my life telling people I was saved and I was good, and I was a lost man headed for hell. I'll just boil it down. It wasn't until I gave my life to Christ, until there was repentance and there was lordship and there was true active faith. It wasn't just words, right? So if there's any questions on that, you have to go back to last week. I want to keep moving. But it's not so much what you say, and it's not the things you do either, but it's when you finally give your life to Christ. I'm not saying you have to do good things. I'm totally a faith kind of guy. Just so you all know now, that's where I'm at. So, he says, if a man says he has faith but doesn't have the lifestyle to back it up, can that faith save him? No, it can't. You have to believe what you believe. It can't just be words. It can't be, this is how I say I live. I'm a Christian. I'm gonna do this, but my lifestyle is something completely different. Now, I'm not saying that you can't make bad choices. We've all been there. So you don't lose your salvation. You all know that. Okay, so moving on. So the second question, is faith without works dead? And I know this really doesn't make sense to some of you guys who weren't here last week, but I want to get to the end. So the same questions, is faith without works dead, is the question I asked. So James 2, 17 to 20 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Just like the previous point, it all hinges on what kind of faith you have. Is it real faith? Is it a faith where you believe God's going to move the mountain, that he's going to part the sea, that he's going to allow you to have the promised land? Or is it the kind of faith of, yeah, I'm a Christian, now get off my back about it, I'm going to go do what I want to do? That's completely, one of those people is going to heaven and one of those people is going to hell. That's just the way it is. You have to have an active kind of faith. So we kind of looked at that, and I'm trying to get there. In Philippians, Paul's like, it'd be better for me to just die and go be with Christ, right? I mean, but he's like, God doesn't want me to do that. He wants me here, and so basically, if I'm going to be here, I'm going to give you everything I got. This is everything I got, God. It would be so much better if I could just be out, but you're not allowed. That's not what you want. So here it is, everything I got. You can have it all. So, James even, he talks about, you say, well, yeah, I believe in God. I work with guys who, you try to, the opportunity presents itself. Obviously, you don't just shove Christ down their throat, but you try to share something with them. Like, yeah, I believe in God. Well, so does, what do we say, like 90% of Americans. That doesn't mean anything. Just because you believe in God, it says the devils also believe, right? What are you going to do with that belief? Do you believe it enough to come to church on Sunday? Do you believe it enough to maybe sacrifice a little? Do you believe it enough to actually give your life to Christ? Do you believe it enough to lay your life down and say, use me? I mean, where are you at with it? What kind of faith do you have? That's what James is getting at. It's not about words in your mouth. It's about the way that you live your life. Now, obviously, when you get saved, that's in a moment of time, and that's all it is at that point, is it's a prayer and it's a word of a mouth. But you can't be at that point forever. When I got saved, the thing I kept saying last week was, when you truly get saved, it demands a response from you. It demands a change. You can't go living the lifestyle that I was living and give my life to Christ and it not demand me being a different person. I had to be, because I couldn't do both. It wouldn't have made sense. It demands a change. It demands something different. And if when you got saved, that didn't happen, then maybe you ought to go back to that verse where Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because there's a reason it says that. Work that thing out. And people are like, well, I'm not questioning your salvation, but that's like the single most important decision you have to make while you're here on earth. You better make sure it's made the right way, and for sure, and it's locked down, and it's sealed, and it's not just, I think so. I heard that in a sermon this week, and that was really good, because I'm not big on people trying to preach you're saved or you're not saved, but you know what? There's a lot to that verse, because maybe there's a reason Paul said it. Work it out, because that's the only thing that really matters in this life. You can do a lot of good things, you can raise a lot of good kids, you can be married to a really awesome person, but in the end, it's you and it's Christ. You're the bride. And if you ain't got that thing worked out, you wasted some years, and work your salvation out with fear and trembling. So that was really good. I listened to that this week. So, to the original question, is faith without works dead? Yeah, if you do not have true, genuine, repentant faith, then you'll not have the fruit of works, and it's simply dead. You know, and we looked at the verses where, you know, a fig tree doesn't grow grapes, and a grape tree doesn't, you know. So it is. Okay, so point three. I started this, but we're just gonna start here and hit it. So that's where we're at, right? We looked at these. What kind of faith do you have? That's where we're at. So what are we going to do about it? We know that Christ is calling us to do something. It's not a coincidence that Mark's up here preaching about the promised land's out there. Yeah, that's right. You was preaching, brother. The promised land's out there, and we're walking around in the wilderness. What are we going to do about it? Okay, so point three. Does acting out your faith make it seem more real to God? Right? 21 to 26. You guys can read that. I'm going to keep going. It's where it talks about Abraham and Rahab and whatnot. So, We looked at this point in the previous weeks when we were talking about faith and works, and we came to a general consensus, right? Acting out our faith it's not going to make me seem more genuine to God by doing good things. God knows my heart. I could fool you or anybody by doing good things, but God already knows my heart. I could do a lot of good things and have a wicked heart, and God knows that before I do anything. So I could convince you guys, but it's not God. So, but the question was more to provoke thought. Like I said, even with the knowledge that God already knows, though, it brings up a valid point. And here's what I asked you last week. This is kind of like where we got to, and I didn't want to just push through. So, does God even need our works? And if not, why does He ask for them? Does God need your good works? No. Then why over and over and over again in the Gospels, in the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, why is He asking us to do this and do this and do this and go here and be this kind of person? Why does He do that? It proves our faith. Yeah, it shows that we are the kind of person that He's asked us to be. It allows us to grow. If God didn't say, hey, I want you to do this, I'd still be the guy that got saved who had no knowledge, no anything. But God has grown me. And if God would have told me the day after I got saved, hey, in 8 years or 9 years, however long it's been, you're gonna travel the world and you're gonna go tell people about Christ and you're gonna get up in front of a class of people, and I'd have been like, you're crazy, and just to prove that you're crazy, I'm never going back. Sometimes God knows that you can't handle what He's got for you. It's simple. What's the next step you want me to take? Okay, I can do that. But nothing more. And then you act that out for a little bit, and it's like, okay, what's the next step, God? Okay, I can do that. No, not anything else yet, though. And we take baby steps, right? That's what God wants us to do. That's where He's at. He's growing our faith. The day you get saved, it isn't the day that you've got the same faith that you're going to have when you meet Christ, unless you die that day. He's growing us. You know, salvation is an instant. You guys know this. It's bam, thief on the cross. It's an instant. Sanctification, it's another big S word. It takes a whole lot longer. It's like a lifelong process. He's growing us to be in the image of Him. So what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? He doesn't need our works. He allows us to be a part of it. God doesn't need me to hold the babies in the nursery. He lets me. And there's times I'm like, wow, I'm really glad you let me do this, God. And then there's other mornings like this morning, and it was just cool, you know? So God doesn't need us. He allows us to be a part of it, right? So have you ever thought you could do something, and as soon as you told somebody, they laughed at you? I told you last week, my wife, I'm like, I'm going to go do this, this, and this, and it's going to take me 2.5 hours. And she laughs at me. She's like, okay, it's going to take you 5. She just doubles it, right? Sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, right? We think, I can do that. I can get all this done, or I can... Sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. God uses this as an example, right? To show us that we've still got some room to grow. I don't think anybody in here has arrived. God's still growing me a lot. I mean, probably more than you guys would know. And just knowing some personal stories of your guys' lives, that's how I know God is blessing whatever's going on right now in Pass Point, because I know some individual stories of your lives, and He's blessing you guys, and He's growing you guys, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's like, man, I wish He wouldn't do this, but that's how I know that God's working, because He's convicting, and God is growing us, and I would much rather go through some of the, man, I wish it didn't have to happen like this, then it seemed like everything was perfect in everybody's life, because I know every one of you was a fake then. You know, anybody can put on a good face, but to see God working in our lives, that's really cool. James uses the examples of Abraham and Rahab, right? And we spent different time looking at that, and Mark even talked about Abraham a minute ago, you know, when he offers Isaac. And like I said, we use it to prove or disprove, but I don't think that's what James meant when he was showing that as an example. When James says they were justified by works, this doesn't contradict Paul's clear teaching that Abraham was justified by God by grace alone, through faith alone. We know that. Paul teaches that, right? And this is something I got out of MacArthur's book. So obviously these are big words. They're not my words, but this is really good. So this is just a quote out of the book. Talking about, because people confuse this. They're like, well, James is talking about works, Paul's talking about faith, what words are that? They actually complement each other. It says, for several reasons, James cannot mean that Abraham was constituted righteous before God of his own good works. Reason number one, James has already emphasized that salvation is a gracious gift in chapter 1, in verse 17 and in verse 18. Right? He's already said it. So why would he say something in chapter 1 and two chapters later? It wouldn't make sense, right? He's already said it. You got to take the whole. You can't just take little parts and pieces, right? The second reason, in the middle of this disputed passage, in verse 23, right? James quotes Genesis 15:6, which forcefully claims that God credited righteousness to Abraham solely on the basis of his faith. If I'm trying to convince you that it's all by works, my argument, right in the middle, I'm not going to slip in a passage that's all about works. I wouldn't do that. I'd just leave that out. It doesn't make sense that he would do that, right? Number three, the work that James said justified Abraham was his offering up of Isaac, an event that occurred many years after he first exercised faith and was declared righteous before God. God already had called him the most righteous man way before he ever asked to prove him. God's not going to be like, you're my most favorite son, and then until you have another son. You don't do that. God had already, he was righteous. That's what he was. Instead, his offering up of Isaac demonstrated the genuineness of his faith and the reality of his justification before God. Just like our works. Works don't get us saved, but because we're saved, we do things for God because he asks us to. Right? It grows us. It stretches us. That's why. James' teaching perfectly complements Paul's writing. Salvation is determined by faith alone and demonstrated by faithfulness to obey God's will alone. They go together. But people want to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and then it becomes a church split type of thing. It's not about that. It's always been about faith. It always will be about faith. But when you have true faith, the faith that changes your life, it demands something to change inside of you. And when something changes inside of you, you naturally have this desire to, what could God took my life, which was in shambles, and he made me a new man. I, in turn, need to do something back. It's just natural. That's what we do as people, right? That's what's happening here. James is not making the point that because Abraham or Rahab did the good work, they were then and only then seen right in God's eyes. But instead, because they were already seen faithful in God's eyes, they were just going to do whatever God asked them to do. It's obedience. It's not about, I'm going to do that, and because of that, I'm going to be a faithful child. It's obedience. God has told me to do this, so I'm going to do it. God has told me to go to London this year, and I even tried to back out of it. I'm going to do it. I don't know. It really doesn't make sense. The timing doesn't make sense. That sometimes you just got to go with God. God has told me that I need to whatever. Just do it. God has told you, here is the promised land, dummy. Open your eyes and go get it. Walk more than a mile a day and go. You know, he's given it right here. We've got this book. You guys are reading, right? Most of you guys are on the, I'm gonna read through the Bible. It's getting hard. I'm in Leviticus, and it's like, holy smokes, guys. It's going to get better, right? I know you guys are there with me, but he gave me this book, and it is full of promises. Go get it. Why don't I go get it? Why don't we go? Before I got saved, I told people I was saved, but I wouldn't have sacrificed anything for anybody because my life was about me. Number one, taking care of myself, right? That's what we do. That's how I was. But when I finally repented, when I finally made God Lord, things changed. It demanded a change. So let's bring it back in and wrap it all up, right? Because this is where I want to get to. What are we going to do about it? Is James a faith or works kind of guy? That's what we started. He's a faith guy. People are going to argue with you. They're going to say, no, it's all about... When you really know what James is saying, when you really know the heart of the passage, how it complements with Paul, James is a faith guy. But with true faith comes good works. It's a natural response. Right? It's a natural response. Holy smokes, I can't even flip the page. It's always been about faith, or grace through faith. Right? But when you truly, by grace through faith, give it to God, it demands a change. And that change is almost always seen as good works. It's a natural progression, right? So, where does it leave us? Alright, I think I can do it. Here we go. Where does that leave us? I'm right there. This is it. What exactly are we supposed to take away from the whole faith versus works debate? We've been talking about this since like the beginning of December. All of that. I've said all of it. I've wasted tons of breath and your time. And where are we at? What are you supposed to take away from it? God has saved you by grace through faith. So what are you going to do with it? Where are you at? What are you going to do? What am I going to do with it? Now that I know, huh? Yeah, it is, because I'm trying to hurry. We can talk at the end, on your time, not mine. What are you going to do with it? By grace, through faith, God saved you. He saved your soul. What are you going to do with that? When you got saved, did the Holy Spirit demand a change in your life? I mean, think back on it. When you truly got saved, did the Holy Spirit demand, okay, we're not going to be that person anymore? Did that happen? If God asked you to, would you be willing to give it all up like Abraham did? Now you're getting real. If God said, I want you to give up your safety net, the most prized possession, are you willing to give it up? What would you not be willing to give up if God asked you to? That's the real question. What is it in your life that it's like, eh? What would you not be willing to give up if God asked you to give it up? Whatever your answer to those two questions are, those are the little gods, the little G's in your life. I mean, just that's what they are. Whatever you're like, eh, if you even hesitate, there's a problem there. Are you willing to give it up for God if He asks you to? Prove it. Just like with me dunking a basketball, prove it. You say, I'm willing to do it all. Prove it. Let's live it out. Instead of just being words on a page this year, let's live it out. Let's let God change the life of the people in this class. Prove it. Are you willing to submit to finally repenting and actually getting saved instead of just words, lip service? Prove it. Are you willing to submit and get discipled? Mark was talking about, you know, I've already been through discipleship when I was at KCBT, but you know what? I came here and you could have been really offended when they were like, no, before we let you disciple people, we want you to go through it. You could have been like, I've already done this. That would be like me, who's quite a bit younger than you. I'm not throwing that out there, but being like, okay, I'm gonna disciple you. You could have been really offended by that, but you know what? You submitted to it because that's where God put you. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. That speaks a lot about your willingness to just submit and do what God wants you to do. Allow God to grow you. Are you willing to submit and get discipled? Prove it. Are you willing to submit and finally to church membership, to whatever's going on at Heartland, so you can be a part of ministry, so you can be a part of what God's doing? Prove it. Are you willing to submit to working in the ministry? Prove it. I got lots of room in the children's ministry. Maybe it's not the children's ministry. I can point you in the right direction. There's need all over. Are you willing to finally do it? Prove it. Are you willing to submit and get in the Word every day? A lot of us are trying that right now. You know, starting January. It's hard. Days like yesterday when it was just like I was ready to just, you know, it was that kind of day. Prove it. Are you willing to submit and let God lead your marriage and not try to do it yourself? Even when she has to point it out for you? Prove it. You know, hey, I know what that's like, man. Are you willing to submit to what God is doing somewhere else in the world and even go on a mission trip? Prove it. You guys can tell me a lot of things, and I'm going to be like, that's awesome. But until I see it, prove it, guys. I can talk all day about dunking a basketball. But until you actually see that goal's not 7 foot, right? Prove it. God has brought us all to a point, whatever it is, take that step. Whatever it is you're willing to let God have control of, submit to Him. Prove it. I told you all a couple weeks ago, I want 27 to be a year we truly do go past the point of no return for Christ, right? But that's all going to be lip service if we don't do anything about it. If nothing changes. If none of us take that next step. If none of us prove it. It's not going to be any different. It won't. So here's the challenge, right? And we're done with chapter 2. We're moving on. I'm excited. Pray this week and get real with God. That's why I didn't want to rush through last week. And we still went over. Pray this week and get real with God and figure out what it is that you're not completely submitting to Him, and write it down. I don't want you to just be like, okay, I'll do this. Write it down. Write it down in your Bible, on the margin. Write it down somewhere. Write it down. And I'm not saying you need to show it to me. If you want to show it to me, you can. I hope it's not anything. Write it down. I don't want to cause any issues here. No. Whatever it is, figure it out. Pray about it. Really pray about it and write this thing down. I think it'd be good in the margin of your Bible, because when you come back to this, you're going to be like, you know what? It proves that God has grown you. Mm-hmm. But write it down. Whether you write it down in your journal if you're a journal. Write it down in your plan book if you're like my wife who has her entire year planned already. You know, write it down. And once you have it all figured out and written down, that's not just it. Just because you figured out you have a problem doesn't fix it. Right? I know that I've got some issues, but if I don't take the steps to... So once you have it all figured out and written down, pray and ask God what it is that's keeping you from giving that to Him. Because when I went through that list, or whatever it was, something popped into somebody's head and was like, yeah, what is it that's keeping you from... I taught the high school one time at camp one year. We draw lines in the sand for God. We're like, I'll do anything you want me to do, God, except for this. Where do you think God's going to do? He's going to immediately take you to that line and say, now what? God has given us the promise, and this ties in really good. You should get up every week. We could really make this happen. God has laid it out there. Here's the picture of the promised land. It is everything that I've promised to you. Go get it. There is structure in place for you to go get it.
Go get it. If I might, is that the more times that we refuse or we hold ourselves back, the quieter the voice becomes. Mm-hmm. So,
that's right.
For everybody to grasp onto it so that the voice gets louder and louder.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever it is, don't walk out of here and forget about it. That's what I'm saying. That's why I want you to write it down. Make it real. I know a lot of us are really busy. I got like a million things going on right now. Praise the Lord. A lot of us got it. Chris and Abby are getting ready to get married. I can't even begin to think about how busy that is. But don't let that be so busy that you're not focused on God. We're trying to get a men's ministry thing going. If we're missing out on what God's doing because we're focused on whatever else it is, we're missing out on it. Right? So let's pray and let's get out of here, guys. Father God, Lord, I love you. I thank you for... you're just an awesome God, Lord. Lord, I pray that...